Ruth chapter 3 this morning. So let's read, if you want to turn your Bibles, Ruth chapter 3. One day, Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, said to her, "My daughter, I must find a home for you where you will be well provided for. Now Boaz, with whose woman you have worked, is a relative of ours. Tonight he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash, put on perfume, and get dressed in your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor. But don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he's lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do." "I will do whatever you say," Ruth answered. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man. He turned, and there was a woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" he asked. "I'm your servant, Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a guardian redeemer of our family." "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This kindness is greater than which you showed earlier. You've not run after younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all that you ask. All the people of my town know that you're a woman of noble character. Although it is true that I am a guardian redeemer of our family, there is another who is more closely related than I. Stay here for the night. And in the morning, if he wants to do his duty as your guardian redeemer, good. Let him redeem you. But if he's not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until morning." So she lay at his feet until morning, but got up before anyone could be recognized and said, "No one must know that a woman came to the threshing floor." He also said, "Bring me a shawl, and you, in wearing it, hold it out." When she did so, he poured it into 6 measures of barley and placed the bundle on her. Then he went back to town. When Ruth came to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked, "How did it go, my daughter?" Then she told her everything Boaz had done for her and added, "He gave me these 6 measures of barley, saying, 'Don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" Then Naomi said, "Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today." Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word this morning. We pray that you would guide us as we look through it, Lord, that it would affect each of our hearts in a powerful way this morning. Lord, I just pray for you to guide and direct our time. We look to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we just finished up Ruth 2. We talked a little bit about Ruth chapter 3, the beginning of it. But just a quick reminder that Ruth chapter 2 is about this private, we see this public character of the Redeemer. We see Boaz, we see his character played out throughout the chapter. We see him being generous and caring for the needs of the people. We see him following the law of God. And he cared about that in such a time that was so difficult, in the time of the judges. So Ruth takes place in the time of the judges. But when we see the public, Ruth 2 being public, we see Ruth 3 being very private. We see this initiative of Ruth and Naomi. And we're told about this conversation between Ruth and Naomi at the end of chapter 2. So what's the significance of that? And I just want to jump back to it real quick in verse 20 of chapter 2. It says, "The Lord bless him," and this is when Naomi had found out about Boaz. "He has not stopped showing kindness to the living and the dead," she added. "That man is our close relative. He is one of our guardian redeemers." So what's the significance? Well, right then, when Naomi or Ruth shares that with Naomi, it's like this switch. She recognizes something is different. There is all of a sudden hope. There is hope in a family being redeemed. And what we start to see in this chapter is this faith of Ruth and Naomi, trusting the Redeemer. We see this idea of them obeying and submitting before the Lord in various ways. And we ultimately see the kinsman Redeemer is trustworthy. So let's walk through this together. Let's look at verse 1. It says, one day Ruth's mother-in-law Naomi said to her, my daughter, I must find a home for you where you'll be well provided for. See, things are beginning to change. All of a sudden, Ruth, who was very focused on herself for most of chapter 1 and into chapter 2, all of a sudden, her hope has changed. She has hope. She has direction. She has some purpose because there is a redeemer. There is potential for her family to be rescued. And so all of a sudden now, attention shifts and she starts to want to be a blessing. She wants to be a blessing to Naomi and care for her. And so let's look at actually, we can jump back real quick, and I think we have a slide on this, of Ruth chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Look at this prayer that Naomi shared for Ruth and for Orpah. Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you've dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you might find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. See, right here we see Naomi praying, even in the midst of her struggle, praying for Ruth to find redemption, to find hope, to find security. And what we start to see in chapter 3 is that she is the tool that God is using to accomplish that prayer, that very prayer. See, this is an example of God's divine sovereignty and also human responsibility being beautifully interwoven here to bring about the purpose of God. And so as we walk through, let's look at verse 2 to 4. It says, now Boaz, with whose women you have worked, is a relative of ours. Tonight he'll be winnowing barley at the threshing floor. Wash, put on perfume, and get dressed in your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor. But don't let him know you are there until he's finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he's lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do. See, right away, what we see is Naomi pointing Ruth back to Boaz. And that's what an example of true faith does. Faith points people to the Redeemer, to the Redeemer. She reminds her of his position as kinsman, something that she shared back in 2:20. So what is the purpose of this plan that that Naomi's putting together? Well, Naomi's family name was in danger. So we're going to think about the name, her family name. And also, Naomi's deceased husband still possessed land in Bethlehem. So name and land are both very important when we're talking about Israel. And also, Naomi understood that because Naomi was in poverty, she was going to be forced to sell her property. And so Naomi understood Boaz was a near relative of Elimelech. And the nearest kinsman or redeemer of the family could buy back what the relative has sold to redeem and redeem the family name. So it could buy back the land or redeem the name. That's what the kinsman redeemer would do. And it had to be a relative. So what Ruth is starting to do, or Naomi's starting to do, is she's starting to look at this plan and saying, the name, how could the name of Elimelech be maintained? Check. What steps could be taken to protect the inheritance, the land, Boaz, check. And then what could provide rest and security for Ruth, Boaz, check. This is a win-win-win situation. But it's also a situation that requires faith, because this happened in the time of the judges. And sending Ruth on this specific mission would be dangerous. It would be dangerous. But this marriage, a potential marriage between Ruth and Boaz, if Boaz was going to be the redeemer and marry Ruth, this would solve everything. But like I said, it was risky. And she needed to obey. She needed to act in faith. See, Naomi somehow knew Boaz was threshing his grain. We don't know how specifically. The idea of threshing, that would mean the grain was beaten out from the stalks. This is a process. And winnowing, the grain is thrown in the air, right? And the wind carries away the chaff, and then all's left is the barley. And so that process was happening in the midst of this. And what was happening usually, this was commonly done in the evening when the heat of the day was over and there was a cool breeze beginning to rise. And the idea here is the threshing floor was large. And we don't know. There may have been more people there. We think, that, you know, we're not actually sure. We know Boaz was there, and Boaz was the owner of that field. And so we know the owners of the field would stay there. But you would think that there would be others there to keep guard over it, because we know from 1 Samuel 23 that David warns the Israelites of looting at the threshing floor. So there were situations in the Old Testament where there was looting there, where people would steal and take what wasn't theirs. And because this is in the time of Judges, we have to assume that that was going on, that that was part of the picture here. So Ruth and Naomi's faith in God, it's not just this passive faith that they're sitting back and just waiting for God to do something. They are part of what God is doing. God is working through these two individuals. And they're exercising faith. They're walking in faith, in obedience. They're not just going through the motions. So she sends Ruth during the evening because they trust in a God that is real, alive, and actively working. And I wonder for you and for me this morning, are we living and walking like there is a God that is living and active and real? Or are we simply just going through the motions? It's Sunday, so it's time to go to church. It's time to be here. Or is this an expression of you throughout the week living a life of faith and then coming together with fellow believers and caring for one another, encouraging each other, and sharing? And the picture of Ruth and Naomi caring for one another is a beautiful picture of what the body of Christ is supposed to do. Because for so long, Naomi was just in need. And Ruth was there, and God's instrument to care for and continue to come alongside her. And now we see the roles reversed a little bit. And Naomi's recognizing that there is hope and there's an opportunity here. So there's this ancient Near Eastern custom where this whole idea of the perfume, the good food, the physical closeness. I mean, this is all kind of, it looks like potentially like a sexually stimulated situation. But what we have to recognize here is that this is an indication, with Ruth doing what she's doing, of her desire to marry Boaz. She is preparing herself in a place where she's able to do that. Now, she, many times throughout the book so far, Ruth is called my daughter, my daughter. And even in a little while, we're going to see that Boaz makes the reference to, you could be with younger men. So what he is doing is he's taking the cues from Naomi, coming before him. Because Boaz would not have instituted this with a younger woman. And so Ruth didn't put her needs first, but she put the needs of Naomi first. By being willing to put herself in a place, a risky situation at night, going down to the threshing floor to Boaz. And in verse 4, you see here, when he lies down, note the place where he's lying, and then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do. She's not to lie down by his side, which we know, you know, potentially sexually involved situation. That would have been immodest, but at his feet, and uncover his feet. Assume a position of submission and humility. Isn't that what faith is all about? Submission and humility. Recognizing that it's not about me and what I can do. It's coming before God as the one that leads, provides, meets our needs. And so Ruth also does something incredible here. She displays patience. Imagine that. Imagine what's going through her mind. She's probably terrified to go at night, to go there, to be at Boaz's feet, and to just wait, not knowing when he's going to wake up, when he's going to recognize her. and it displays this patience. Do we have patience to wait on God's timing for answers? Or when we ask God, are we just like, why aren't you answering me? Answer me now. Answer me the way that I want to be answered. But that's not what faith is all about. Faith is about entrusting yourself to the Lord and understanding that He knows what's best, not us. We don't know. We have to entrust ourselves to the Lord's authority. He's the one that guides us. He's the one that leads us. He will, like Naomi says, tell you what to do. See, Naomi was confident in the character and integrity of Boaz. Confident enough to say he will tell you exactly what you need to do. So what's Ruth's response? Let's look at verse 5 and 6. I will do whatever you say, Ruth answered. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. So how does Ruth respond? She responds with obedience and submission. This is an evidence of faith in her life. She was not only, and the book of James talks about this, a hearer of the word, but she was also a doer of the word. It affected her life. It affected her actions and her attitudes. A willingness to obey the Lord and a willingness also to follow through. Are you and I obedient to the Lord to follow through on what He's called us to? What He's called you to? To the place that you are right now, the job that you have, the family that you've been placed in, the school that you go to. Are you being an instrument of God's work, an ambassador for Him? Are you relying on His strength to do that? As I wrote that last night, I thought about just my situation. As I continue to think about how we are called as leaders to care for the church. Are we submitted to the Lord's authority? Are we waiting on His timing to lead us and guide us as a church? Or are we just trying to do something on my own timetable or our own timetables? We have to regularly submit to the Lord and look to Him to guide and lead us. Let's look at 7 and 8. It says, when Boaz had finished eating and drinking, he was in good spirits. He went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man. He turned, and there was a woman lying at his feet. Think about this. The winnowing corn actually ended with a feast. There usually was a feast. People were cheerful and thankful, and they were thankful for what the Lord had provided. Remember, this is Bethlehem. And so there was not a famine in the land anymore. God was providing. And we see the faithfulness of God providing. And so Boaz celebrating in God's faithfulness. He was in good spirits. So there's thought, was he drunk? No. There's a couple different things. One, he could not have guarded that pile if he was drunk. And we know from everything else that we recognize and realize from this passage and before it, that Boaz was a man of integrity. He was a man of integrity, a man of standing. He was fully in full command of his senses. He was fully alert. And I love the way that it's described where it says, he went to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. That emphasis is abundance. God had abundantly provided for Boaz. He was at the far end of the grain pile. And you recognize that. And what was his goal? His goal was to honor the Lord in what he did and what he said in his job, his workplace. And so not only that, we see Ruth's obedience again. She does exactly what she was told. Quietly approach, uncover his feet, and lay down at his feet. She did everything just like she was told. She lived a life of obedience. And then in verse 9, Boaz says, who are you? He asked. I am your servant, Ruth, she said. Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a guardian redeemer of our family. What is Ruth's approach? I think I see a theme here. Humility. Submission. Obedience. saying, I trust you, I respect you, I put my fate in your hands. And her intention was simply to remind him what the law of God required of him. Spread your garment, the corner of your garment over me. There's a couple of expressions of that in the Bible, in Ezekiel and Deuteronomy and Malachi. All have the implication of marriage involved with it. They're all focused on this idea of marriage. Marry me. Be the redeemer. Raise up a son for my mother-in-law. And what we find is every time we come to the Redeemer in faith, he says he will do it. And that's what the Bible is all about. The Bible is about a people like me and you that are full of sin, and that God did the unthinkable by sending his son to be the Redeemer, to be the one. And he will do all that he says he will do. All the promises in God's word are true. God's word is unchanging. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so when Ruth acknowledges or echoes the language of Boaz, and if you just want to go back to Ruth 2:12, we should put this on a slide, but Ruth 2:12, Ruth actually echoes the language that Boaz used when he prayed for Naomi, or prayed for Ruth. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Do you see the connection? The idea that the under whose wings, the covering of the Lord. And Ruth is saying, do this for me, Boaz. Do this for us, for my mother-in-law. Redeem us, be our covering, as the Lord covers us. This reference to this covenant bond of marriage. I mean, think about this. Think about Boaz. He had the perfect opportunity to live in a way that was sinful. He had a perfect opportunity. Darkness, a man alone with a woman in the dark. But because Boaz was a man of honor and integrity, he was like that in the light, and he was like that in the dark. Are you acting the same way when you're around people as you are when you're in your home? Is there an integrity? Is there a sense of character? And that's what Boaz had and Ruth had, a sense of character. He expects us to behave the same way when no one is watching, because he ultimately, God, knows all, is watching. Let's look at verse 10 to 13. The Lord bless you, my daughter, he replied. This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, do not be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All the people of my town know that you're a woman of noble character. Although it is true that I'm a guardian redeemer of our family, there is another who's more closely related than I. Stay here for the night. And in the morning, if he wants to do his duty as your guardian redeemer, good, let him redeem you. But if he's not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until morning. Look at Boaz's desire in verse 10. The Lord bless you. What a way to respond. What a desire you would have for your spouse, that the Lord would bless that person. What a desire that you would have for your family, that the Lord would bless your family, or for your neighbor, or for your coworker. And this is the thing, this is Boaz, and he's showing us a picture of the Redeemer. What a pure intention, what an example for us to follow. He calls Ruth my daughter, his provision, his protector. Former kindness which Ruth had shown to the family of Boaz was her love and the fidelity to her husband and the affectionate love for her mother-in-law. So when he says the former kindness, that's what he's talking about. But this kindness now, this decision to marry Boaz and to provide a child for a deceased husband, which is foreign to us. This is foreign to us. But we know that that's how in the Old Testament law, in the Mosaic law, This is what was required. And people wanted to live by the law. Ruth is concerned with the promise of God. She's concerned about land, Israel, and she's concerned about the family name of Elimelech and continuing that name. She's concerned with providing for Naomi's needs. And Boaz realizes that Ruth was primarily concerned with for Naomi's future. People were taking notice of Ruth. She was a woman of faith. She was acting with integrity. And people were starting to take notice. He's saying you could go after younger men, older men, or younger men, any man. She was attractive on the inside. And we don't know what she physically looked like. We know, like, Esther, for example, was beautiful. We don't know specifically about Ruth. But I would guess that she was also attractive by this. The idea is that you could have other men. Why, Boaz, why? Well, she was attractive inside. What do we look for in a future spouse? It's very important. We look for that integrity. We look for that uprightness and that fear of the Lord and trusting Him, showing that integrity. And we encourage our spouses to have that same excitement for the Lord. You want to revolutionize your marriage. Think about the faith of the other person, your spouse, and how that is going to affect your relationship every day. Every day. Let's see how Boaz responds. He comforts her, verse 11. Don't be afraid. He's committed to doing what she asks. His plan is to redeem Ruth. And we see Boaz's integrity in verse 12, how he conducts his business. And Boaz protects her in verse 13. Stay here for the night. In the morning, if he wants to do his duty as your guardian redeemer, good, let him redeem you. But if he is not willing, and I love this phrase, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. He acts in a way that he acts because he knows that God lives, that God is real. We talked about faith and how we can move forward in faith. Are we just going through the motions, or are we acting like God is real, that this whole faith thing is real? If it's not, we better just pack up and head out. Because Jesus did what he said he was going to do. God did by sending Jesus. We're going to celebrate in a few weeks Easter, the resurrection, that God was going to accomplish what he promised by sending a redeemer. But what would our lives look like if we really believe that the Lord lives? How would that change your Monday? How would that change your Tuesday throughout the week? So this redeemer calls her daughter, blesses her as a father, encourages her as a friend, promises her as a kinsman, rewards her, and we're going to see that shortly, and sends her away with gifts. So let's look at verse 14. I know we're running short on time. So she lay at his feet until morning, but he got up before anyone could be recognized. And he said, no one must know that a woman came to the threshing floor. She lay at his feet until morning. Integrity. Devotion. Perfect obedience and submission. Relying on the Heavenly Father to provide for our needs. Four times in this chapter, there's a mention of feet. Ruth had fallen at the feet of Boaz in chapter 2. But now she was coming to him to propose marriage. She was asking him to obey the law that the kinsman redeemer would take. It's this beautiful picture of his love. Look at verse 15. He also said, bring me the shawl you are wearing and hold it out. When she did so, he poured into it 6 measures of barley and placed the bundle on her. Then he went back into town. Remember the theme earlier in the book? If you haven't been here the last few weeks, we talked about the emptiness that Naomi has felt. Well, here's a beautiful picture of Boaz bringing fullness. Do you see it? bring me the shawl you're wearing and hold it out. And he poured 6 measures. We don't know exactly how much that was, but it was more than what he originally had given Ruth. And he placed the bundle on her. And then he went back to town. See, he does not send Ruth away empty-handed. And he specifically calls out and says, this is for Naomi. This is for her to see that I am going to provide fullness. Boaz doesn't owe Ruth anything. But God fills us with abundance. And then when Ruth came to her mother-in-law, verse 16, and asked, how did it go, my daughter? I mean, picture Ruth there with the bundle. I mean, she's got fullness. How did it go, my daughter? He gave me these 6 measures of barley, saying what? Don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed. Give her fullness from the Lord. A picture of the true Redeemer that we have. A message specifically for Naomi. And then verse 18, Naomi said, wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens. For man will not rest until the matter is settled today. See, Boaz is going to get an answer. He's going to get an answer. He's a man of his word. He's going to do whatever it takes to make sure Ruth and Naomi are secure and provided for. And Boaz is like Jesus. He finishes the job. Jesus finished the job of atonement. The sacrifice for you and for me. And so in order to be a redeemer in the ancient Jewish culture, 3 things had to be true. And we'll close with these. The redeemer had to be related to the one that was being redeemed. And Boaz was related to Elimelech. And like that, in Hebrews 2:17, Jesus is related to us. When he took on the flesh and he became like us. 2:17 says, therefore he had been made like his brothers in every respect, so he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. So not only did he have to be related to the one being redeemed, he also had to be able to redeem. Boaz had to have the means to redeem Ruth and Naomi. And Jesus had to qualify to be able to redeem his people. In 1 Peter 1:18-20. Knowing that you are ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Like a lamb without blemish or spot, he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, and was made manifest in these last times for your sake. And the final thing, not only did the Redeemer have to be related and be able to redeem, but the Redeemer had to be willing to redeem. And in John 10:17-18, it says, for this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. God sent Jesus to be your rescuer, my rescuer, to place our trust in him. And so this morning, if you have not placed your trust in Jesus, I would love to talk to you about that more. Pray with you if there's something going on in your heart. Because through Christ, we have access. We can't get into heaven another way. There's only one way, and that's through Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this morning. I thank you, Lord, for each and every person that you brought here this morning. I thank you, Lord, for being our Redeemer and for the story of Ruth. Beautiful picture of redemption. And I pray, Lord, for each person here. Maybe some people here are stuck. They've been in church for a long time. And they feel like it's just going through the motions. And I pray, Lord, today that they would live each day as surely as you live. That they would place their hope and their faith in you today. And I pray, Lord, for those, Lord, that don't know you as their Savior, Lord, if there's those here. That, Lord, you would be prompting them that you would be softening their hearts, helping them to see how much they need to place their hope and trust in you. Because you are faithful to do exactly what you say you're going to do. We thank you for this time this morning. In Jesus' name.